Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey, you pointed something out to me yesterday that perhaps, just perhaps, there were not as many cars on the road as usual, and perhaps people are enjoying their holiday, not listening to the show, which makes me sad, but still. So, I wanted to go through some things that people might have missed about the NFL divisional round.
Smart. I like that.
We could have just replayed our show from yesterday.
No. There are other stations that do that that you can find out there. Which game, you know I will, which game would you like to start with from this weekend? NFL, we got the four divisional games. Where would you like to start?
Let's go ahead and start with the Texans and the Chiefs, the first game.
Okay.
Oh, in order, I like this.
Yeah,
the Texans and the Chiefs, give me cut number 12, will you please, Ross?
Hunt trying to plow right side, touchdown, Kansas City, Kareem Hunt, his fifth, make it sixth, career playoff touchdown, looking for his first win in the divisional round, and the Chiefs do taste the sweet nectar of the end zone.
I bet he gets it. Man, that was really, that was early in the game to
sweet nectar.
Throw out that superlative. I've started to think more and more like this season's Chiefs, maybe to a certain extent last season's Chiefs, remind me a lot of the Spurs in that they're led by a player that no one questions their greatness. And they win games in such workmanlike fashion that by the time you're like, ooh, maybe we could, what the hell, the game's almost over.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and like that's what felt like what happened to the Texans. The Texans, like at no point did I think the Texans don't belong in this field. But also at no point did I actually think they were probably going to win the game.
Yeah, that was one of those when I was watching, it felt like that. And then it felt like all of a sudden there's not much clock left.
Yes.
And
you
just was like, oh,
you're
man.
You're down by more than one score. And what happened?
You don't have time to do this. And then again, Travis Kelce shows up as the guy. He shows up and says, I've been resting all football season, but I'm ready to be here for the playoffs.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up Travis Kelce because that's what I wanted to focus in on.
Caitlin Clark being up in the stands with Taylor.
Yeah, man, like that feels like...
Who's she dating?
Some guy, I don't know.
On the Chiefs?
No, I'm sorry.
She
I
was
don't,
just a guess.
I don't know.
She was just a guess because she was on the New Heights podcast a while back. But
it feels like the Mega Powers. If you're like a late 80s wrestling fan, like when Macho Man and Hulk Hogan shook hands, like these are two of the biggest people in sports and pop culture. And they're like, let's hang out at the game of the team that's trying to make NFL history.
Yeah. See you at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's pretty neat. But Travis Kelce added to his postseason legend as Corey brought up, 117 catches and a touchdown. Travis Kelce passed Jerry Rice for the most 100-yard games by any player in the postseason with 9. Now, I realize the complications that come along with that is the expanded nature of the playoffs over the years. But still, that's really damn impressive. And then think about this. This is wild. He has 14 straight playoff games, Travis Kelce, that is, with 70-plus receiving yards. You know who's second on that list? Antonio Brown with 7.
Wow, really?
So he has twice as many as anyone in history, and then just surpassed Jerry Rice for the most 100-yard games in the playoffs. It's going to be hard for me to ever say anybody is better than Jerry Rice at, like, the pass-catching position. But do you think Travis Kelce is, like, carving out a niche where he's at least second in the postseason pass-catching division?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
As long as he can stay healthy, what's stopping the Chiefs from doing this the next two or three years?
Yeah, he doesn't sound like he's like, I feel great.
Yeah.
And he conserved his body this year. I'm dead serious. Watch the way he ran routes this year, and you'll be like, that wasn't even a full route. It's because I didn't have to run the route, and I'm saving. He was saving everything, man.
Isn't it annoying?
Whenever it's important times, they go to him.
Isn't it annoying that what you think of as weakness was just great strategy by a great team? Like, that's annoying if you're another team. Oh, I think Travis Kelce's slowing down. Oh, I think the Chiefs mismanaged their salary cap last year. And they're like, no, we're fine. We're just slow playing what we're doing.
I guess I'll repeat what I said yesterday. Patrick Mahomes just doesn't make mistakes now in the playoffs.
He doesn't.
You have to beat him. He's not going to allow you. And I could be wrong. Maybe he does it on Sunday. But last year and this year, with a different style than he had the first few years in Kansas City, he's like, I'm going to Tom Brady this thing, and I'm never going to give you a short field, and I'm not going to make a major mistake. Maybe my receivers do.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not going
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do to force me into a bad decision that cost us the game.
And the other thing, all the film that you watch of them this year shows Mahomes going to all these other receivers in these routes.
Yeah.
And so you're watching it going, they're just not going, Travis is old. You're thinking that. And then whenever it's time, they're like, well, you watched all this film of us doing this, and we're going to do this instead this time.
See, and that's what's annoying, too, because, like, annoying as a team that can't win, which is my favorite football team, can't win, or pro. And it's annoying because you're like, oh, their receivers aren't that good. Yeah, well, just go ahead and watch on Sunday. I bet one of their receivers makes a catch. Maybe it's because of an incredible pass, and you're like, well, never mind.
Xavier Worthy hasn't turned into the second coming of Tyreek Hill.
But he'll do something
he'll
on
do
Sunday.
Something that irritates the crap out of you.
All right, where do you want to go next?
Order.
Let's go in order. Let's go to Commanders-Lions.
Let's go to Commanders-Lions. Indeed, consider this couple of reasons that the Commanders won, or more specifically, one reason. The pressure they got on Jared Goff. Now, I know you can make this argument in most games, but this is a staggering difference. Jared Goff, when he had a clean pocket on Saturday night, 10 of 11 for 137 yards. You're going to be in trouble if you keep allowing that. However, and this was before the game was over. This was like early in the fourth when the game was not technically over, but pretty much over. He was 3 of 10 under pressure for 43 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions.
You think that's after the concussion? Oh, hold on, two interceptions.
Two interceptions.
After the concussion, he seemed a little worse, though.
And well, which makes sense, and how do you allow them to go back out on the field? Mm-hmm. It's a whole different conversation. But where does Washington fit historically? They are on pace right now to be tied for the third worst odds to make it to the Super Bowl.
Really?
Since 1977, which I guess is maybe when we figured out this whole odds thing.
And
it wasn't in just people's notebooks.
Around the merger time. Yeah.
A little bit after the merger, but yes. But believe it or not, the team they're tied with, it's so crazy to think about this because you see that team now as a juggernaut. But at the time, the 1999 Rams, greatest show on turf, at one point, they were 150-1.
Nobody believed them, dude.
Exactly.
Nobody believed them.
To make the Super Bowl. So were the 2021 Bengals. And I know now everybody knows how good Joe Burrow is, but they're like, the Bengals are going to make the Super Bowl? Get the F out of here. So the Rams, Bengals, and Commanders, all 150-1, and the Commanders have an opportunity to move into that group. Now, the conference finalists with the worst odds ever, the 1979 Buccaneers were 250-1.
How'd they do?
They did not win the Super Bowl.
That's tough.
I'm sorry to tell you, but...
Sorry, Tampa. This
is just the historic nature of this Commanders run, 150-1 to start the regular season.
And I guess if you jot down a rookie quarterback in that conversation, it's even rarer.
Well, what changed for Washington?
They got new ownership.
Really?
And head coach.
That they got from the Cowboys.
And rookie quarterback who's really good.
Yes.
Really good offensive coordinator. They signed Bobby Wagner in the offseason to add a defensive player who's also a leader.
You can't sign free agents.
Well, they got Dante Fowler.
Well, they signed
Armstrong.
Several players from the Cowboys.
It really ruins your chemistry.
Kept Terry McLaurin. And they just continued to add. They even got Austin Eckler. So, yeah, they did a little bit of work.
Yeah. And I'd argue Austin Eckler's been very underwhelming, and yet here they are.
But the owner that took over, is he the president and general manager?
No.
He hired a general manager?
Yes.
He hired a general manager from basketball. He hired somebody from basketball to come run it.
That's so stupid. Look, that'll never work.
This is a dead serious question. If Jerry Jones announced it, I swear I'm serious about this.
He's bringing in Nico.
Jerry Jones, no. Make it tougher for you. He's going to resign as general manager and make Mark Cuban the general manager. Do you accept?
No.
Okay. So Corey's on record as he wants Jerry to stay the GM.
Yeah, I don't want.
Okay.
He hired a former owner to be the general manager.
That's right. He was the general manager too.
That makes all the sense in the world, honestly, if that's the way Jerry would go.
All right.
Just hire Chris Young if you're going to do that.
Oh,
hire Chris Young instead.
Would you do that deal?
1,000%.
Okay, I thought so. All right, we go on Rams-Eagles next then if we're following the hierarchy.
Let me go look at the schedule here.
Okay. That's right. It was the first game on
Rams-Eagles it is, Kevin.
All right, give me cut number 11 then if you will. We all talked about it on draft night. Teams would regret passing on Jalen Carter. I'm not saying just this one play made a difference because he's been having a heck of a season.
6 for 15 on third down. Back again. They got him. They sack him. It's Carter, Jalen Carter.
Can't block him.
And
was that the play where they literally didn't block
him?
Yes. They didn't even try to block him.
They did. He just turned the wrong way. Mm-hmm. He was like, hold on. I think he's going to cut inset to the right. And so the guy goes, I'm going to cut. I'm going to block inset to the left. And that is problematic.
That guy could have lined up backwards. He could have had his butt to the defense, and that would have been he would have maybe had a better chance of blocking.
Jalen Carter, 5 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, and a pass defended in this game. And this is why it's so important, because I know the Rams were losing, but I said it. I thought the Rams were going to win, especially after the Nacua sideline snow catch.
It was amazing catch.
I was like, I think they're going to win.
Yeah.
And then this hit wiped out. And I know they had a fourth down after this, and we were like, who was that throw to? But you saw the throw. That to? But that was a huge, huge play by Jalen Carter.
It was on the sideline. It was somebody in the stands. He fell short of that one, too.
Now, I know they won, and so maybe you'd care, maybe you don't. But Jake Elliott made a lot of difference in the betting line. So at one point, the point spread was -6.5 for the Eagles. The Eagles won by 6 points because they missed an extra point.
They missed 2. They were 1 for 3 extra points.
Yikes. So Jake Elliott is the cause of that bad beat, or he's your hero, depending on which side you're on this. And I know it didn't end up mattering in this game, but he's 2 for 5 on extra points in the postseason. That feels hugely problematic. And
is
like,
he from Notre Dame?
Oh, man. Jeez. It feels like you should have brought somebody in this week to be like, hey, can you kick an extra point?
He went to Memphis, Mike. So
no. Okay, so not.
Yeah. Well, they're very well.
Well, they had Penny Hardaway teaching him how to kick. That was a bad idea.
He made all 3 of his field goals in the snow, but he's 2 for 5 on extra points. Do you fear that that's going to have an impact in whether you think it's going to be this Sunday or in a few weeks?
Oh, for that he's going to miss one at some point? Yeah. I think the Philadelphia is going to have a couple fumbles that cost them. And a missed field goal or a missed extra point. That's a problem.
Oh, you're going with Wash.
Yeah. Well, I actually am picking Washington in this game. And I think that Philadelphia is fantastic. Like, they are very well built. A lot of times it just doesn't seem like people are prepared for Washington. It seems like they get caught off guard by what they're doing.
All right. Then we finish up with Ravens-Bills, I believe is the logical decision next. Give me cut number 8, if you will.
Here's the snap, fakes the handoff, back to pass, has time, looking deep over the middle, wide open is Andrews, gets away from the tackle, but the ball is out, and Terrell Bernard forces the fumble and scoops up the football. Takeaway number 3 for Buffalo. What a play by the defensive captain.
I believe if you can play the beginning of that one more time, you can hear somebody, I think, in the booth who sees the fumble and is in the background.
Here's the snap, fakes the handoff, back to pass, has time, looking deep over the middle, wide open is Andrews, gets away from the tackle. With the ball.
Can you hear that guy in the background?
Fumble!
Yeah. So the Ravens obviously lose this game. We talked about that plenty yesterday. This feels like a sad, like, statistical epitaph to Taff.
You're good.
Okay.
Epithet.
Nobody even knows what you said anyway.
Empathy.
The Ravens are the first team in the history of football to have a 1,000-yard rusher and a 2,000-yard rusher in the same season, with regular season and postseason, with Derrick Henry hitting 2,000, including the postseason, and Lamar Jackson hitting 1,000, including the postseason. And for some reason, neither one of them were running towards the end of the game.
I just thought it was wrong if yesterday you weren't listening when Corey called Mark Andrews Dak Andrews.
I never said that.
Hey, you kept saying he's the Dak of tight ends. And I was like, come on, man. Like, I get it. He had the worst day of his life. He had a bad playoff game. He cost his team possibly a win, or at least going to overtime. But you don't have to do that.
Yeah, if there's anybody who's standing up for the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, it's definitely Mike Bassett.
Jamal Lewis. Did you see him yesterday,
no.
Kevin? Jamal Lewis is
still playing?
But he's definitely in
year 25.
A lot of people got him on video camera, and he's like, why not run it? Why not run the ball?
Yes!
It just seems like you should have run the ball there.
I agree, Jamal Lewis. Now, let's throw this out about Josh Allen.
Just throw it to me. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. Josh Allen has 7 playoff rushing TDs in 12 games. He is tied for second all-time for quarterback rushing touchdowns with... Can you guess?
I wasn't listening well. Second in rushing touchdowns.
Were you not listening either?
I just wanted to hear him say more words.
Ross, now, Ross, did you hear my question?
I was going to say Joe Montana.
Josh Allen with 7 rushing touchdowns ties him for first all time?
I hate all of you guys. Josh Joe Montana. Allen.
Well, we're out of time.
Is tied for second all time in rushing touchdowns in the postseason with 7. Who is he tied with?
Emmett has more than that.
Okay, for quarterbacks.
John Elway. Is John Elway on the list?
Oh, yeah, you know who I think it is? Roger.
Yeah, I was going to guess Roger, too. I know he liked to scramble
a
lot.
Ross, you didn't remember my question. You're done. He's tied with Tom Brady.
Okay.
Josh Allen and Tom Brady are tied for second.
He's a good quarterback sneaker.
Yeah, he did sneak a lot.
Josh Allen has done this in 12 games. Tom Brady took 48 games. So
48?
Yeah. Which, first of all, shows how amazing he was in the playoffs, played all these games. But yeah, Josh Allen took 12, Tom Brady 48. Leading the way is Steve Young with 8. He did it in 22 postseason games. Steve Young?
Steve Young's on the list?
A Jerry Jones franchise would at least won 8 games out of those 48 chances.
Where's Lamar on the list? Do you know?
Not in the top 2. Or I guess not in the top 3.
By the way, Jake Ottinger is in goal tonight.
Oh, the
and
honor.
Mike Hyka also saying Rope Hintz is back.
So. Were you about to say Mike Hyka is back on the ice?
Mike Hyka getting out there tonight.
Stars. For him.
I would definitely watch that.
He's the first one on the ice.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the fan. Maybe I was just delaying the inevitable, because coming up next, the Mavs Hornets matinee. You heard the end of it right here on our show. Plus, the midseason report next on the fan.
Dinwiddie driving left on the run, banked it. That's too hard. Gafford follows it up and dunks it home for a career high 29 points.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I want everyone to play along with an exercise with me right now. 877-881-1053, the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. Text in right now what you think Mike is unusually angry about in the break. I don't think there's any way anybody will get it, but I would love to see these guesses. Now, believe it or not, it was not about the Mavs, though we had plenty to be upset about in that game last night. The Mavericks lose to the woeful Hornets. I almost said Thunder. They are not woeful at all. And unfortunately, your schedule from here is the best of the best.
Just forfeit.
Because you get Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and Boston. Now, I realize the argument is going to be you just beat Oklahoma City. I get that.
You just took them down, dude.
All right. And maybe
you're good against the good teams. It's the bad teams that you struggle against.
And maybe you're right. But this feels like at the end of the week, you will be saying 23-23. Dallas Mavericks. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what it feels like when you look at just the really difficult schedule ahead.
I get that they're trying their best with what they have on the court, but And somehow you did beat Oklahoma City. But in between those, you lost to New Orleans and Charlotte. At this point, you have to win those games.
Didn't Shea not play in that game?
Yeah, Shea didn't play. So, I mean, they kind of thought, we can beat these with our Nimrods, too. and they didn't. So now you're probably going to get your butt handed to you tonight at home. So good luck going to that game, Mavs fans. Then you lose. Washington's a 50-50 coin flip at this point. And then you play New Orleans. I mean, to be honest, you have to beat Washington and New Orleans. Detroit's not that bad anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, then you go on a stretch on the road where you go at Detroit, okay, winnable. Then at Cleveland, L. Philadelphia, I don't know who's playing in that game. And at Boston, you'll lose by 40. So, I...
Just like the Warriors.
Yeah, I don't know, like... what we're going to do here, and you're still a few games away from getting to the All-Star break where you're hoping that Luka's recovered from his calf injury. And at this point, too, yesterday, you'd have won by 10 points if Lively could have played, right?
Yeah.
With the domination of Gafford. Because yesterday, Maxi Kleber had to play the backup center role, and he got 0 points and 2 rebounds.
Because Gafford was... freaking right. Spectacular. That was a career high, I believe, on the 31 points to go along with 15 rebounds. Amazing effort.
I was watching pretty closely yesterday. When Gafford was out of the game in the fourth quarter, he needed some rest. Charlotte went on a nice run where they took the lead, and there was nothing the Mavs could do because they didn't have Lively to have that center combination. So, yes, Luka means so much to this team. But in this situation... you know, he's 20 years old. I just like, dude, can you just stay healthy for 2 straight weeks in your career at this point, you know?
Okay, with that in mind, I was kind of curious because the Dallas Morning News has got it broken down by, you know, player for player. And I think this article actually came out on Thursday. So we're a few days into it, and there are a lot of really high grades in this that I don't really particularly agree with, but... what kind of overall grade would you give to the Mavericks knowing that injuries has crushed them? And I'm not saying they haven't been trying or anything like that, but here's like one of the things that I sometimes struggle figuring out. For example, in this piece, Derek Lively gets a B+, Kyrie gets an A, and Luka gets an A-. Like, I think that discounts the fact that whether it's your fault or not, if you're not out there for some games, like, that factors into your grade, or it probably, I think it should.
Unless you have a qualifier that says only what they did while they were playing. Like, if you have that qualifier.
Yes.
But otherwise, yeah, I mean, missing from that puts them in B categories. When they were playing, they were that good, but the missing part of it puts them in a bad situation as a team overall.
How in the world could you give Luka an A for this year? Let's just take out the real injury that he got, the calf injury. That was real on Christmas Day. We're noticing that we don't even know if he's going to play the rest of the year. I think he will, but that's where we're at with Luka. At 5-7 to start the year, that was one of the most disinterested players I have seen.
You did not think he was hurt. You thought
he wasn't hurt at all. I mean, he was like a little hurt, but like he was fine. It was, dude, you're not like we're in a tight game here at Utah. You have your head so far up your rear end, it looks like it is coming back up out of your neck. That's how far he had his head up his butt on defense for the whole game, and it cost you at the end. And it was like, dude, we are losing left and right. We get there's a lot of season, and it's not the NBA Finals, and you're not in Slovenia anymore, and all these things. But, dude, we are 12 games into this season, and you have not barely engaged at all, and they gave him a week off, and the team played well without him, and he came back and had a great attitude. It was awesome. And the Mavericks were off because their leader of the team decided he was going to play basketball this year. So that being said, good for you after they went on a nice winning streak and you came back. But I can't give you close to an A for not showing up for the first 12 games of the year, then having to need about 4 games off to get your mind right, and then playing really good basketball, and then a month later you blow out your calf. That's not an A grade. That's disgusting to me that somebody would give him an A grade for this year. I'd give him... at best, a B-, best, because I'd say, hey, the stretch when he came back from his, I think, kind of hiatus because they needed him to mentally engage in this season, he was great. But 12 games, you were pathetic. Then you had to sit out 4 games to get your mind right. There's no way I can give you an A for that.
There are high grades across the board. Spencer Dinwiddie gets a B-. Daniel Gafford gets a B. Now, I will say,
I'd give Spencer Dinwiddie three letters, PSI. That guy sees how much air there is in the ball at all times. He's
AKA,
he's
like, he likes to dribble a lot,
right? He is perfect at, if you ever needed to check Tom Brady's balls, footballs is what I'm talking about, he would have been the guy. He wouldn't even need to stick the needle in the ball. He'd have been like, I know, just let me bounce it 74 times.
Daniel Gafford gets a B. Quentin Grimes, B+. Jaden Hardy, C+. Kyrie, like I said, he got an A. Maxi Kleba, C-. Derek Lively, B+. Najee Marshall, B. Klay Thompson, B, which that is a little surprising. And P.J. Washington gets an A, and Jason Kidd gets a B.
Those are pretty.
What was the lowest grade?
Those are lowest pretty grade lenient. Was Maxi at a C minus.
Those are pretty lenient grades.
Exactly, and so it's tough because you're three games above 500. When this article came up, you were three games above 500. I just feel like it totally discounts injuries or missing time from the team as being relevant whatsoever. I'm not saying it's the player's fault, but you have to impact it on the grade. I think.
I do wonder at the end of this season if they'll look back and say to themselves that that did cost us and where it cost them. Like, what is it going to cost them? Positioning in the playoffs is the most likely thing.
Yes.
I don't know that it's going to cost them a position spot, but positioning for sure.
Yeah.
And they haven't quite, like Dirk in his era, we have to be the number one overall seed. Like, we just have to have it in order for us to be successful. That's what we're going to need is home court. And it just seems like the Luka group doesn't think that way, and they're just like, we just show up wherever, we don't have to come out and win the number one spot in the regular season, we just want to be in the mix. That's what, just the feeling I get out of this, because they don't put that urgency or importance on that.
Now for the
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I mean, I do think, Corey, at the end of this week they'll be out of the whole playoffs. Yeah. They won't even be in the play, and they're a game and a half out of the 11 seed. So if they lose these three games,
Yikes. Most likely
Golden State will pop back into like the 9-10 spot, and the Mavericks will be out of the playoffs completely. And I'm with you. I think they'll end up making the playoffs, like the play-in, and hopefully win a play-in game and get into the real playoffs. But I do think, because of injuries, I want to make this clear, I really do like this team when they're completely healthy, and think only the Thunder are, in my mind, better than them in the conference. But at this point, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I don't know if Luka doesn't play until March, I don't know if they can make it.
Now, there's a lot of guesses about why Mike was irritated in the commercial break. From the 214, the weather. From a different 214, Kirby Yates to the Dodgers. From the 817, because they didn't rename the Indian Ocean to the Guardian Ocean. From the 469, the donut shop across the street ran out of sprinkles. From the 817, Mike is usually upset about his wife putting her cold hands on his back every morning. Is he still mad about
that? How does that guy know that?
I don't know that.
Who is that guy?
He's been listening for a while, I bet. Been listening for a while.
He knows my wife too well.
From the 817.
Did she have cold hands?
Is he mad about HEB? From the 214, that Jerry named himself as the coach. From the 903, is Mike upset about something random to do with the inauguration? All right.
I don't remember at this point.
I'll tell you. It is something random. But it was actually, and this is why it was unfair. On Good Morning Football, they're showing clips of the 1998 NFC Championship game where Gary Anderson, who I believe had not missed a field goal all year, he wasn't even mad that he missed a field goal. He was something to the effect of, oh yeah, good job with your stupid helmet. Why are you so upset about this?
Yeah, Nimrod missed it because of one bar. Hey guys, I can't, the bar's in my eye. You guys gave me two bars, I can't see. Hey, equipment guy, can I get a one bar helmet? Yeah, hey! Where's our helmets from 1964 that smell like trash? Mm-hmm. Just don't wear a helmet. Just go out there and be like, I don't need a helmet. I ain't going to try to tackle anybody if this thing gets blocked. I'm a Nimrod. Wear the effing thing backwards.
So
I want you to put on a helmet backwards next time, Gary Anderson, and it'll look the same way as that one bar crap.
He's done kicking.
So Gary Anderson had the no face mask, one bar helmet on.
I remember when I first saw that.
Guys,
I was like,
I can't see the ball on the ground. There's two bars here. It's all in my eyes. Well, the one bar didn't help you get to the Super Bowl, Gary. Get a helmet.
as he's reenacting right now, this is legitimately how upset he was about the 1998 NFC Championship game and the helmet that the kicker was wearing.
I think one day the kickers are going to have those shields like CeeDee Lamb. They're going to have the
God, I hope so.
I'm a one bar guy.
I really.
I tell you what, you're a no helmet guy. Get out there. You're not getting a helmet. That's, I was equipment manager, I'd be like, no, we're going to shave your head and paint it purple and throw those horns on there and just, that's your helmet. If you, if you think that you just need one bar to be successful, screw you.
How long do you think it would take everyone to be like, hold on, I do not believe that player is wearing a helmet.
Very quickly.
I mean, just
think about this. How quickly do we go, that guy's wearing a Guardian cap.
And whoever the head coach is, they'd say, interview the equipment guy. And that'd be me. And I'd be like, he didn't deserve one. Next question.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
He's a one bar guy.
Hey, in case you've ever wondered, is Mike the same off air as he is on the air? Yes. Yes, he is. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, and let's talk about some of these big time coaching decisions next on The Fan.
Goff gives it to Gibbs, straight up the gut, to the two, to the one, to the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs finds the end zone again, and the Lions are right back in this game. It's 31-27.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
Lovely.
Here we go.
Now.
Here we go.
There's been a lot of moving and shaking on the coaching front. As Mike brought up, Ben Johnson is the new head coach of the Bears, the Lions offensive coordinator. Lions defensive coordinator is in talks with the Jets right now. We'll see where that goes. For the Cowboys, they completed their interview with Leslie Frazier, and the Schottenheimer interview is scheduled. It could be as early as today.
I imagine, Kevin, they were definitely talking and trying to get ideas from Saleh and Frazier about being defensive coordinator. Just my guess on that. They would love to have sold that while they were also trying to sell this head coaching thing. But I don't know, man. I'm interested to see Saleh's, like, how they felt about him.
Yeah.
But compared to kind of what we saw on Hard Knocks and what he was in New York.
Now, something that's interesting that has continued to happen into this round of the playoffs, I honestly thought that it was the absence of the Cowboys that hurt the wild card weekend. And that could still be true, but and this is how you can spin data however you want. The ratings for the Rams-Eagles game was 37.8 million viewers. That's the fourth biggest divisional round game for NBC since 1988.
That's pretty good.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Good for them.
Last year, in that slot, the Lions beat the Bucks, and that was viewed by 40.4 million.
Oh, it was a lot more.
So you dropped by 2.5. The Saturday afternoon audience was about the same, and the Saturday night window audience fell from 37.5 to 33.5. So right now, the average viewership per divisional game is down by 2 million. Now, if you're thinking that the Ravens and Bills game is what's going to pop it back up, keep in mind, that slot last year was taken by the Chiefs-Bills. And that averaged 50 million people. So you'd have to hit almost 56 million, which feels unlike, I'm sure a ton of people watch that game. 56 million for a divisional game feels unreasonable if it doesn't involve the Cowboys.
Yeah, but 2025 TNA Genesis was at the same time.
That's a good point. And they probably lost a lot of viewership. That is an excellent point. So you're going to have a wild card round that's down because of TNA wrestling. And now the divisional round looks like it's going to be down as well. Now, I realize last year you had all-time records, and you're still like, it's the fourth highest since 1988.
There was also an inauguration getting ready to happen,
so there was a lot of stuff going on. But and you have seen
Corey
a
titter.
I want Mike's definitive rankings of like all the reasons the playoffs went down. TNA Wrestling 1, prep for the inauguration 2. Uh-huh.
It was cold outside.
It was cold outside.
A lot of places had cold
that
weather.
That affected people's ability to watch the television?
Maybe.
Okay.
Getting prepared.
TV lines were down.
Wrapping your pipes. And then I don't know. I'm too much in the jokey mood, and then I'm going to offend
okay.
people.
All right. So this is a serious bet already being made. It's only Tuesday, despite what Mike thinks. A $1.3 million bet was just placed on the Chiefs to beat the Bills straight up. The bet payout is $1 million.
$1.4
billion bet. $1.3
million. All right. It'd be cool if it was $1.4 billion for a $1 million cash out.
That's like a terrible bet.
Yeah, Vegas would be like, let's eat this one up. Well, that's the way to do it, man. You just bet $1 million to win $1 million. You're going to be okay. That's how it's going to happen.
House takes 5%.
Do you think you would eventually get bored in these scenarios where you're like, throw it on the pile? Like, if you can bet $1.3 million to win $1 million, like, you probably have lots of money. I don't know that for a fact.
I wonder what the biggest bet ever is on a sporting event by one person. Because also, like, yeah, let's just say Elon Musk wanted to bet $1 billion on this Super Bowl. I don't think a casino could take that.
Yeah.
Maybe they could, but I won $1 billion on Kansas City. I'd be like, oh, we have a restriction.
Yeah, and like that feels like something you definitely need to go up the chain for. Like, you can't let Brian, the clerk who takes bets, handle that bet. He's like, okay, sir. Your payout is $2.5 billion.
Sorry, Brian.
Yeah, like, and Brian, the clerk, bankrupted MGM because he took this bet.
What if you bought $10 worth of Bitcoin 15 years ago and you're just like, screw it. I'm going to bet this $10 that is worth, I don't know, $100,000 right now.
Oh, I bet it's more than that, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know when Bitcoin, the year it started whatever, but isn't it like 104,000 or something
it's
right now?
Something ridiculous.
So you bought one Bitcoin when it started?
It wasn't the first purchase ever two Bitcoins for a pizza?
I thought that was how somebody used their Bitcoin. The first time anybody ever used Bitcoin
like
for a product.
For a transaction, yeah. Ouch. Better be the best damn pizza you've ever ate. Maybe it was. Don't know.
I remember when my first ever manager, Harry Spillman, said, that better have been a good effing frozen lemonade.
What were you doing?
It wasn't mine. Okay. Other guys, we were in Burlington, North Carolina. It was hot and we were poor. And guys went into the concession stands during like batting practice before the gates were open and stole some lemon chills.
Oh my God. They stole them?
Yeah, they took them out of like the freezer so they could have a lemon chill in between batting practice and the game. And then the next day, we had to like run forever and do abs that hurt for 2 weeks just because of some effing lemonade.
Lemon chills are great, dude.
Then he called us the C word. And I was like, that's the first time I've ever been called the C word.
Cherry?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
What's your favorite time to have a lemon chill? Mine's right as you're leaving the park at Wet n' Wild. That's when you get the lemon chill.
Interesting.
And I loved Harry Spillman, but he was mean.
Now, another note on the coaching front. The Tennessee Titans did indeed hire John Fossil as their special teams coordinator. Now, I know there's a good chance with a new regime, maybe you'd bring in all those new coordinators and everything, but as Bobby has pointed out, at times you have some carryover coaches. Are you bummed to lose John Fossil?
I can tell you, they're asking the fan text right now, and there's going to be plenty of texters that are like, no, I'm not going to be tired of seeing him throw out failed punts, failed fake punt attempts, and failed this and that. And for a guy that helped create the new kickoff rule, didn't seem to really have any good understanding of how to take advantage of it fully.
Which is weird because you were blocking kicks. You had the top returner in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like our special teams have been doing pretty well.
Special teams is
Did he find Aubrey? Is he? Does he get credited with?
I think he did.
All right, you're going to miss him, dude.
Yeah.
Now you're only going to lose in the first round as a likely ceiling.
But either way, I think this is a tough loss. So if people are like, good, get rid of him. All right, more power to you.
People hated Quinn at the end of last year, too.
Yeah, that's right. And now his team is in the NFC Championship
Kevin,
game.
Kevin, guess where the special teams for the Cowboys are ranked in the NFL this year?
First.
Fifth.
Middle of the pack.
Oh, really?
Just with yards and all that other stuff, too, and kick returns.
I'm surprised.
Just middle of the pack.
Okay.
Just what the Cowboys were. We want to be around the rim is pretty much it.
Just middle of the pack. Not impress anybody.
Get another old fossil.
Okay. We'll see if we can do that.
No such thing as a new fossil.
Oh, my God.
Because they're old. They're buried.
No, I understand. Like usual, it's not that I don't understand your point. Into stone. What am I supposed to say to that?
Good joke.
Where the
kids have a fossil wallet or a fossil watch or anything?
I used to have
you
a fossil say, watch.
Dadgum. That's his hat. Or Dagum.
Dagum.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
Looks like we're out of time.
Sean Sharif's tweet about Jerry. Is his legacy as bad as some folks think? And does the Jones family even care? Next on The Fan.